up, everybody? This is Nick Bannock, and this is the Learn Paid Media podcast. I want to thank everybody who's been giving me feedback and comments on my last two episodes. I've gotten some great reception and some great feedback and some criticism, so keep it coming. Anyway, this episode is going to be all about jargon. Jargon fucking sucks. There's just nothing awesome about jargon. It just pisses people off. It makes people feel stupid when they don't know what it means. It's annoying to talk about paid media without using jargon, so it's, as a practitioner, you end up getting stuck in the fact that you have to use jargon to talk to other people about things in an efficient way to communicate in the industry. But then at the same time, you have to break things down for people that don't know what some of these words mean. And then when people are learning, it can be really intimidating because you see all these acronyms, you see all these different words that you think you might know the meaning of, but they actually mean something different in paid media. So as a result of that, there's a pretty big learning curve when it just comes to jargon. So I wanted to take some time on this episode to cover this because I realized on the last episode, I was probably using jargon that might be confusing for some people. And I think that this episode will help clear that up, and it'll be an episode that people can reference from time to time, or if they're new, they can reference this episode to kind of get a good foundation of what some of these terms mean, because as we proceed in this podcast, I'm not going to redefine some of these terms every time we talk about them. For example, if I say SEM, that means search engine marketing. I'm going to define that in this episode, but I'm not going to redefine it every time I say SEM. In later episodes, I might just say SEM, and I'll hope that people have listened to this episode and will understand that. So anyway, let's get started. So the first word that I'm going to talk about is paid search. Paid search is one aspect of paid media. When I'm talking about paid media, I'm talking about paid search. I'm talking about video advertising, display, programmatic with display and video. I'm talking about a lot of different things, but one of the main components to paid media is paid search. And paid search is simply paying to be in the search results on Google and Bing. So the ads on Google and Bing are paid search. Same thing with shopping. So shopping kind of goes in with paid search. Shopping is a search channel. I mean, it's kind of considered its own thing in Bing and Google, but it's ultimately a search channel. When someone goes to Google and does a search, they either get a regular just pay-per-click ad that is at the top, a text ad, or they get a shopping ad. And those are the ad formats for paid search. So I will talk about shopping from time to time, and most of the time if I do that, I'm talking about the shopping results on Google and on Bing. And I'm not usually talking about, you know, the shopping results in Amazon, for example, though there is a whole paid platform for Amazon that we're not going to really cover too much here, but just know that it exists. And I will be very specifically talking about Amazon shopping, Amazon advertising, if I'm ever discussing that on this podcast. Paid search encompasses a lot of other acronyms and kind of similar words. So SEM, for example. SEM stands for search engine marketing. It's important here to delineate between SEM and SEO. So you'll hear people talk about SEO. SEO is search engine optimization, and that is trying to optimize your website and do different things that help you rank organically for specific terms. So SEO is all about organic results. That's not what we're going to talk about here, but I wanted to just quickly let everyone know that because sometimes they get confused by people that are new to the industry. SEM is search engine marketing, and that is the same thing as paid search. It's paid results on the search engine, so it's the paid ads on Google and Bing. So let's move on to PPC. PPC stands for pay per click. It's a type of advertising where you pay every time that you get a click on your ad. So paid search, SEM, they are PPC ads. They're pay per click ads. Anytime that someone clicks on one of those results on the search engine, one of those advertising results on the search engine, it is a pay-per-click. They pay whatever the cost is based on the auction. And we can discuss how the auction works in a different episode. But just know that that is what PPC means. Now, most of the time when people in the industry are saying PPC, they're talking about paid search. It's not every time that that's the case, but most of the time people will say, oh, PPC, and they're talking about Google Ads. So you might hear that from time to time. You'll also hear people say AdWords. Just know that Google Ads used to be called Google AdWords, and also for short, it was just AdWords. So if you ever hear someone say AdWords or Google AdWords, they're talking about Google Ads because they rebranded it to Google Ads just to keep us confused. So thanks a lot, you fuckers. So then let's move on to video. So video, you'll hear people say video in paid media. And most of the time when they're talking about that, they're going to be talking about YouTube or doing video channels programmatically. So let's talk about YouTube first. Managing ads on YouTube is done through the Google Ads platform. You just go to the video section. So you might hear people say video, say YouTube advertising, stuff like that. Most of the time they're talking about actually using Google Ads to manage their video campaigns. So I want to be clear about that. You'll hear us talk about YouTube advertising. Really, we're just talking about managing video campaigns within Google Ads. Another thing that you're going to hear is display. People are talking about display. They are talking about advertising with banners. And I'm not talking about bullshit pop-ups, weird, you know, malicious sites that have like these crazy ads that you can't even X out of. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's a whole different thing that we're not even going to cover here because it's just outside of the scope of this and I don't fuck with it. When it comes to display, what I'm talking about is banner advertising, responsive ads. When I say responsive ads, I mean responsive display ads. So this is sometimes referred to as native advertising as well. But for Google, what this actually is kind of like a ad that meshes to a native format on the website. It's very similar to a banner ad. And the way it works is a display ad is usually retargeting. So somebody that has been to your site and now you're retargeting them with a banner ad across the network. And when I say the network, I'm talking about the ad network or the ad exchange. So in many cases, this might be you're managing a display campaign through Google Ads and it's retargeting. And that allows you to retarget people on all of the Google Ad Network, which is, they own the DoubleClick Exchange, and then there's Google AdSense Network. And so this is just a network of sites that make money off of ads being on their sites. So there might be a blog about training dogs, and you might have your ad show up there because somebody went to your website, and then they went to that site afterwards, and they were trying to learn how to train their dog. Or it might not have anything to do with your business. You might actually be a company that sells sneakers and somebody went to your site, they left, then they went to this blog to learn about how to train their dog and they got an ad for the sneakers that they were looking at on your website. You retargeted them and it automatically showed up on that website because it's part of the Google DoubleClick Exchange, also the Google AdSense Network. You might hear me talk about DoubleClick here and there, but just know that Google has been rebranding all of the DoubleClick stuff. Even though it used to just be DoubleClick owned by Google, it's got a bunch of different names now. So you might hear that from time to time. Also with display, we might be talking about other channels. So I mentioned Criteo on the last podcast. Criteo is an advertising channel I use for dynamic retargeting. And when I'm talking about display, I'm also not just talking about retargeting. I could be talking about contextual display. So maybe that same website that's about training dogs that has ads on it, there's also an ad there for dog treats. And because I'm an advertiser that sells dog treats and I'm bidding on specific keywords that are, you know, dog training. So then my ad actually shows up on websites about dog training. So my ad shows up there. That's prospecting display. So prospecting is going after new audiences, trying to find new people, and then retargeting or also discussed remarketing is advertising to people who've already engaged with your brand in some way. So they've been to your website, or maybe you served a video to them and now you're retargeting them because they've seen your video. So there's different ways that you can do retargeting, which is also called remarketing. With display, when I'm talking about prospecting, contextual, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. So contextual display is like what I just said, where you're maybe bidding based on the content of the page. So you've got keywords that are related to that. There's also what's called audience keywords. So you might be targeting with keywords on, let's say, Pinterest or on Google or some other channel, and it allows you to basically target people that might be interested in those products, but also pages about those products. It allows you to do a little bit of both there. And you can do more than that with topics and interests with display. So there's topics, which are what the websites are about, and then there's interests. So you might be able to go into interests in a programmatic platform or a display platform like Google Ads, and you might be able to find avid bargain hunters, and that might be an interest. Or there might be an interest category for nature lovers or things like gluten-free foods. There might be an interest around that. So there's all kinds of different things that you can target there, and they're all used for prospecting, but you can also combine some of these audiences to build really narrowly targeted audiences to kind of hone in on a consumer that you're looking for. So maybe you want to target people by a specific age demographic, a geo, an interest, and also a contextual keyword. You might be able to build a set of targeting options like that in your display campaign, and then you pretty quickly hone in on a small audience, but there's some drawbacks to that. You might not get a lot of impressions. It might be difficult to get in front of the right people that way. So there are some drawbacks if you overdo it, but just know that there's a lot of targeting options within display. And you heard me throw around the word programmatic, so I better go and discuss that now. So programmatic is, there's a lot of ways to define programmatic, so this one kind of sucks. But one thing I'll tell you about programmatic is that it is a way, it's usually referred to when it comes to display and video advertising outside of Google with other platforms. And it's basically just a way of buying your digital ad space automatically. So you're using, you know, computers and systems to decide which ads to buy, how much to pay for it. So when they say programmatic, you're basically programming the system to, you know, go after specific things. So it might be what I just talked about. You build in some interests or some retargeting lists or stuff like that. You put what you're willing to pay per conversion or per 1,000 impressions, which I'll discuss in a minute. And then the system goes and it tries to bid in real time to have your ad show up on those websites. And this is the same way that it pretty much works within the Google ecosystem. It's just that there's other channels outside of Google and there's other ad exchanges that Google doesn't own. So you might use a platform like Centro DSP or something like that, or you might use, like I've used DoubleClick Bid Manager, which again, Google rebranded, but there's different platforms out there that can do some really cool things. Simplify is another good one. And what they do is they allow you to target all of the ad exchanges that are available outside of Google. So there, you know, there's Rubicon and there are a bunch of other ones out there, OpenX and all these other ones. But anyway, those ad exchanges sometimes have different costs than what Google would have for those sites. So sometimes you actually get a more efficient cost when you're using a programmatic platform because it's able to get you either larger reach because there's more inventory available when you have all of the exchanges, but then also you sometimes can get a better cost because there's multiple ad exchanges at play and it's going to try to get you the best cost for what you're trying to do. It's not going to try to spend the highest amount. It's going to try to get you the most efficient performance. So that's what the way that programmatic works. And then know that as a site owner, you might actually have multiple ad exchanges because you're trying to make the most money off of your site. And you might find that having OpenX gets you a bunch of extra clicks and a bunch of extra impressions, and you make more money as a site owner. So it incentivizes you to have more than just Google AdSense or, you know, the DoubleClick exchange on your site. When it comes to programmatic, it can get really complicated and it can be intimidating at first. And I'll tell you that I worked in the industry for several years before I really understood programmatic and managed it. When I finally got into a programmatic real-time bidding platform, I started to build things out and I realized pretty quickly it's not that different than just managing a display campaign in the Google Ads platform. And it kind of pissed me off because it just made me feel like there was a lot of fuckery at play where these people just really decided they were going to make it seem like this crazy, weird, arcane way of managing campaigns that takes a long time to learn. People held it really close. And then there was all these other providers out there that were like, oh, we have our own programmatic platform. I've come to find out they just all have a version of the Trade Desk, which you can just basically lease. And I'm just like, come on, guys, this is not even that intense. It's actually pretty easy to manage and to set up. And a lot of the times it wasn't even what really worked the best for my clients anyway. There's some use cases for it that I found to be really, really good. Like I ran a couple of ABM campaigns, which here you go again, ABM, account-based marketing. So ABM was or is account-based marketing. It's used in B2B where you might have a product that's only applicable to, let's just say there's like 1,000 companies that might really use this product. Maybe you only target the Fortune 500. So there's only that, those companies. Maybe it's, you can only really target companies that are in the medical transportation services space, which is going to be only a small handful of companies. So what ABM strategies allow you to do, account-based marketing strategies, are use tools like programmatic display platforms, but then also use a list of ideal companies or email addresses or things like that to then put into your programmatic display campaign so that you're basically prospecting your ads only to people at those companies. So that's a really good use case for programmatic. There's some really cool platforms out there for this. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's a lot of people who use things like Terminus. But I found that Listen Loop was a really good platform that has a low barrier to entry. So Listen Loop was really cool for this. I know some people that use Terminus, and there's other ones too. I'm not going to go through all of them. But there's some great platforms for ABM if that's what you're looking to do here. So let's move on from the display world and start going into some of the more general terms that actually apply to all paid media. And I guess paid media is a jargon term on its own, isn't it? So when I'm talking about paid media, I'm talking about all of the similar terms. Online advertising, paid online advertising, digital paid media, digital advertising, things like that. I mean, even digital marketing, paid media is kind of part of that. But there's all different ways to say it. And really, all that it is just buying media space online in all different ways. That's all paid media really is. And so there are things in paid media that you don't really hear about a lot, like buying ads on Quora. So buying ads on Quora or buying ads on Reddit, these are paid media channels, but they don't really fall into like the traditional paid search types of categories. They're kind of display, kind of different, kind of paid social. And paid social is another term that's Facebook advertising, Pinterest advertising, Twitter advertising, LinkedIn advertising. It's basically just advertising on social media channels. That's all that paid social means. So you'll hear us talk about that too. But anyway, moving on to the general terms. Click. Simple. Click is when someone clicks on your ad. It's really all it is. However, it gets complicated when you start then going into Facebook. And then Facebook ads will say, oh, you got 300 clicks on this ad yesterday. And you start going, oh man, that sounds really good. I got 300 clicks. And you start going, what's my cost per click? CPC is what that means. So you start seeing CPC, cost per click. Okay, my cost, which is my ad spend, those are also the same thing, cost and spend. My cost was $300. I got 300 clicks. Wow, I only paid $1 per click. Well, it's kind of shitty that Facebook does this because they'll call it a click, but in reality, it's not what a click is in every other channel. In every other channel, for the most part, a click is someone clicks on your ad and goes to your website. That's pretty much what it is. Now, there are some ad platforms for advertising your apps, and that can be a little different. A click to an app is a little bit different. It might go to an app page on the Google Play Store or something like that. That can be a little bit different. So just keep in mind that it does behave similarly, though. Like, instead of going to your site, they might just go to the page that has your app, and then they choose to install it or not or whatnot. So just keep that in mind. But with Facebook, they have clicks, and then they have link clicks. So a link click is when they actually click the link in your ad that takes them to your website. Now, the reason is, I don't think that Facebook's trying to be malicious here, but it is annoying that they do this, that they call it a click, and then it'll have in parentheses all. So you can see that what they're talking about is someone clicked through to your site, they clicked through to your Facebook page, maybe they liked it. There's all kinds of engagements that get brought into it, and so they'll call that clicks all. But you can filter down into what they actually mean. So just keep that in mind, that it can get a little confusing when you get into the Facebook ads platform and you start seeing what they mean by click. And when I say Facebook ads platform, keep in mind, that's where you manage Instagram advertising as well. It's all done through Facebook and Facebook ads. Let's move on to the next one, impression. Impression just means they were served the ad. They were given an impression. So it just means that an ad was served to somebody. That's all that it means. They saw the ad. And sometimes an impression could also be that the ad loaded on a page that somebody was on and they might not have actually seen it. So this can happen too. So you might every once in a while hear someone say viewable impression, which means that it was in a place where the person most likely was able to see it, even if they weren't paying attention to it. So just keep that in mind too. Next, we're going to talk about, I already talked about cost and spend, but we'll talk about CPM. CPM stands for cost per thousand impressions. So what this actually means is in display, especially programmatic channels, and if you're running like video outside of YouTube, you can also use CPM within the Google system, but most of the time Google defaults to CPC. With CPM, it's cost per thousand impressions. It's the general way that an auction takes place. So you might be serving ads on a programmatic channel and your average cost per thousand impressions is $2. It means that you're paying $2 every time that your ad gets 1,000 impressions. So that's the way that they are going to bill you. And then there's click-through rate. So click-through rate is clicks divided by impressions. And so the thing here is that CPM is interesting because you might have a $2 CPM, but you might have like a 0.01% click-through rate. Well, if you have that, it pretty much sucks because you're getting a ton of impressions and you're not getting almost any clicks on those impressions. So people are being served your ad, you're paying a lot of money, and you're hardly getting any traffic for it. Maybe those impressions are really good impressions though, and it's worth it. But just keep that in mind that CPM can be really good if you have a high click-through rate, but a lot of times it can also be really tough if your click-through rate is low. So that also comes down to your creative. And when someone says you're creative, they're talking about your ad, what you're using for your ad. Now, CPC, which you heard me say before, cost per click. This is the default way that Google Ads is going to basically serve your ads in the auction. You're going to pay a CPC, a cost per click. So just keep that in mind that when you're advertising on Google Ads, the default is CPC. So you're just going to pay every time someone clicks on your search ad. You're going to pay every time someone clicks on your display ad. And this is one of the cool things about Google Ads is that it's one of the few channels that allows you to actually run display campaigns where you're paying per click. So you're paying every time someone clicks instead of every time that you get 1,000 impressions. And the benefit there is that all impressions become free impressions at that point because you only pay if they click. So your click-through rate becomes less of a problem on your display ads in Google Ads because even if you had that 0.01% click-through rate, well, all the rest of those impressions were free. So, I mean, who gives a shit? Well, you should actually give a shit because your performance probably sucks if you only have 0.01% click-through rate. That's actually really bad performance, and you do not want to strive for that. So just be aware of that. All right, so then with video, there's also a thing called CPV if you're running YouTube campaigns in Google. And so CPV is just cost per view. And it's like CPC, but the way that YouTube works is, I mentioned this in my last episode, but with YouTube, you're going to pay every time that someone views your ad. And that's for in-stream specifically, so the skippable video. And the way that that works is they watch 30 seconds of the video if the video is longer than 30 seconds. If the video is shorter than 30 seconds, it just means they watch the whole thing. You only get charged for that, so that's a cost per view. And they don't charge you on like a CPC with that. So someone can actually click your ad on an in-stream ad and you're not going to have to pay that way. But there kind of is a CPC component if you're running the YouTube discovery format, which is when your ad is showing up as like a, you know, sponsored ad on the right-hand column of YouTube or in the search results and someone chooses to click on it. That's more of like a cost per click type model that they're using there. It's just for the in-stream that you have that CPV model. Next thing we're going to talk about is average position. Average position is a metric that Google is actually going to be kind of getting rid of, and they're going to be using a different thing afterwards. But anyway, average position is just on the search engine, so Google Bing, It's your average position in the results amongst the ads. So let's say there's three ads that show up at the top and your average position is 2.5. That means that you're pretty much showing up in position 2 and 3. So your average position is 2.5 because half the time you're in position 2, half the time you're in position 3. That's kind of some fucked up math. There's a lot of variables here. Sometimes you're in position 1. Sometimes you're in position 4. Sometimes you're at the bottom of the SERP. Sometimes there's only two ads that show up. So there's a lot of variables. So don't come after me for this one. I'm just letting you know that that's the simple way to think about it. But as you can see, it's problematic to think about it on a regular basis. And it makes you focus on the wrong things. If your average position is 2.5, that can mean that you're at the bottom of Google almost every time because it's mobile searches that are always happening and there's only two ads at the top on that search. Maybe there's three, maybe there's four, but a lot of times there's only two. And then being in position 2.5 might mean that you're missing out on a lot of traffic. So it's hard to focus on average position. So what Google has done is they've brought in some other kind of new metrics where they basically have different impression share metrics that show you if you're at the absolute top of the SERP or if you're just within the top results, so you're above the organic results. So you'll be able to use those metrics, which are, you know, like the top impression share and the absolute top impression share. And so those are going to be things that you can use on the Google side. But average position does still show up in other channels like Bing, so just keep that in mind. And you can use it there. It becomes a lot less relevant when you're looking at things like shopping. So just don't drive yourself crazy if you don't really have an average position there. So just keep that in mind. Impression share, I threw that term out. This is basically the number of impressions that you received divided by the estimated number of impressions that you're eligible to receive. So that sounds really awkward to say, but it's kind of, it's how often you're showing up versus the estimated amount that you were able to show up. It's really awkward, but what it kind of means is that if you're bidding on keyword A and you have a 60% impression share on that, it means that you missed out quite a bit and you don't have 100% impression share because you didn't have your impression show up every single time for that keyword. And there's variables that go into why you only have a 60% impression share on keyword A. It might be that you weren't bidding high enough. It might be that there was a bunch of extra competitors that showed up. There's a lot of different factors here, but just know that impression share is based on how many impressions you're getting versus what you're eligible for. And again, there's budget limitations, there's bid, there's quality score, there's ad rank, there's all kinds of things that can factor into this. And also with impression share, you can sometimes hear people talk about this in other channels. And there's a similar metric that people talk about of share of voice. So how often you're showing up amongst your competitors and things like that. It's a similar metric, but it's a little bit different. And share of voice is not something that you're going to see as often in paid media, but it is something that you're going to hear and people will discuss it. And it's talking about the same kind of thing. It's how often you're really showing up amongst your competitors and who's got the larger impression share, who's got the larger share of voice, that sort of thing. So next we're going to talk about a view through. This is related to a conversion. So view through means somebody was served an impression. They didn't click on the ad though. They just got an impression and then they still make their way to your website and convert. And so it tracks as a view through conversion. Sometimes you'll hear people say impression assisted conversion. It's a little bit misleading when people talk about it like that, but it's a view conversion. They didn't click on it. They just saw it and then they converted. You're going to see these a lot in programmatic display. And if you're dealing with a ship vendor that uses programmatic, you might find that they're telling you, oh, you got like 30 conversions yesterday. And then you find out 29 of them were view throughs and they were view throughs with like a 14-day look back. So that is a pain in the ass when that happens. And a 14-day look back, it's another jargon term, a look back. Look back is what your pixel is eligible to look back to count conversions. So a lot of times, I talked about this on the last episode as well, it's like Facebook default is 28-day click, 1-day view. That means that a view-through conversion on Facebook has to happen within 24 hours of that impression being served. Whereas a click, they can click on your ad and 14 days later, they could convert and it will be attributed back because the look back accounted for a 28-day. So keep that in mind if you are running view through conversions. any vendor, any, you know, intelligent person in the industry that is not trying to screw you and make it look like your metrics are too good to be true, they're going to use a limited look back window. And a lot of times they're also going to use a different weighting. So they might say, we're only going to count view throughs that are 3 days old, 0.2. And so it's only worth 20% of the value or whatever. So there's different ways that you can do that. And a lot of the platforms have those built in. Let's move on to the word conversion, because I just threw that out there. Conversion in paid media just means that they were basically a goal completion, which would be the Google Analytics term. But a conversion is they just took the desirable action and that engaged with the pixel that you set. So this can be like a lead form. You might have a lead form on your site, and on the thank you page, you have your conversion tracking pixels. And whenever somebody hits that thank you page after engaging with an ad, it's a conversion. So that's what it means. It could be a transaction on a website. It could be an email capture. It could be all kinds of different things. Just know that it's whatever you define it as within the platforms. So you're the one who defines what a conversion is for your business. But you'll hear that word thrown around, and then you'll hear conversion tracking, which just means you're putting the tracking pixels from the publishers and from your systems on the thank you pages and things like that, or on the button clicks, or however you're tracking. Next, you're going to hear CPA. This stands for cost per acquisition. So CPA is when somebody basically converts what the cost per conversion is. So it's just you spend $100 on your ads, and then someone converts, it'll be a $100 CPA, a $100 cost per acquisition for that one conversion. That's all that is. It's just your cost divided by your conversions. Now, that is how it's defined within Google and within Bing and within a lot of these other platforms, the programmatic platforms and all the others. But reality is, that's not really what a CPA is. A cost per acquisition for real is an acquired customer. So you actually acquired a sale. So it really should be cost per acquired sale or cost per acquired customer. So this can be confusing, because let's say you're talking to a B2B company and you start throwing around the word, you know, cost per acquisition. Our cost per acquisition is $50. And they're like, wow, they might think, wow, that's amazing. We acquired customers for $50. But in reality, you're only tracking lead form submissions. So those aren't acquired customers. Those are leads. So really, your cost per lead is $50. Their cost per acquisition might be $700, because maybe it takes a lot of leads to get a actual acquired customer. Who knows? So these are things that you have to keep in mind. In the platforms, CPA sometimes could mean CPL, cost per lead, based on how you have your platform set up, how you have your conversion set up, and all that. So just look out for that and know kind of what you're talking about. If you're talking to a client or marketing director or whatever, and you're throwing around these terms, sometimes I'll just say cost per lead if I know that their conversion that we're tracking is actually just a lead. So just look out for that. And then the next thing is ROAS, R-O-A-S. This stands for return on ad spend. This is just a metric that is your revenue divided by your cost. And your revenue is just transaction value, you know, basically the dollar amount that came into the business. I think most people know what revenue is, but return on ad spend is your revenue divided by your cost. It's a simple metric to use in online advertising. And you might say, you know what, I need to have a 2x return, which literally just means that your revenue is 2 times your cost. So these are things that you want to use for optimization. And then there's return on investment. Return on investment is a little bit different than return on ad spend, because this one actually takes your revenue and it then subtracts the cost and divides by the cost to give you kind of a percentage. So return on investment is a little bit better than return on ad spend in some scenarios, but it's more for after the fact analysis. It's not usually a metric that you're going to have automatically in the platforms for running automated bidding. When I say automated bidding, I'm just talking about not using manual bidding where you're setting the CPC or the CPM yourself. I'm talking about having a system where you say, you know what, I want to get a $50 CPA or a 2x return, 2x ROAS, and you put that in the platform, and then it tries to get that for you. That's automated bidding. And then the platform is actually doing the bidding work for you, and then you can focus on the strategy and the creative. These are some of the things you're going to hear. You're going to hear people talk about conversion rate. This is just simple conversions divided by clicks. So that's just, you know, your conversion rate, like on your landing pages. Maybe you got 10 clicks, but you only got one conversion. That is a 10% conversion rate, which is actually pretty sweet if that's the case. But it just depends on what kind of industry you're in and all that kind of stuff. Now, there can be phone calls that fall into this stuff too. You might track phone calls as conversions. So just keep in mind, you might have an account where you track lead form submissions, phone calls, and live chats. And they might all be conversions. So when that happens, you want to make sure that you can at least segment. Segment just means break it down. And the platforms all let you do that. They all let you break it down or segment by different things. Like you can, in Google, segment by conversion action. Facebook, you can do a segment by placement and things like that. Facebook can get a little weird with the way that they track conversions, but there's different ways that you can define them all in there. You just got to look out for that, and you got to see how you've tagged things. You might have tagged something as a lead. You might have tagged something as a purchase. So just keep all that stuff in mind. That's enough jargon for now. I think that it gets the point across that there's a lot to learn here, and I hope that this is helpful for everyone. And just don't be intimidated by the jargon. It is helpful to know all these terms. It makes it a lot easier, like I said, to talk to each other about things. Like if you're talking to other colleagues and people that know the jargon, it's just going to make it faster for you to communicate about what you need to communicate. But as you're learning, it can be just a little bit confusing. It can be a little intimidating. You'll get it. It's like anything else. You just got to keep at it and you'll get it. Thanks for all the support. If you like what I'm doing here, please leave me some reviews. I'm seeing that I'm getting a lot of people downloading and listening to the episodes on iTunes already, but I haven't had any reviews yet. So if you got any good, nice things to say, please leave me some positive reviews and we'll get that out there and get this podcast moving up. And if you have any criticisms or if you have any questions, please go to learnpaidmedia.com and just submit on the form there, because I'd really love to answer some more questions. And I'd also love to get some criticisms, some feedback, you know, maybe even just some questions around what topics you want me to cover. There's so much in paid media that I'm going to be focusing on. And I just think that it'll be helpful to know from some of the people out there what they want to hear next, because I might not get to it for months otherwise. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk soon.